Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Mrityu Mitrayu Cha and Divodasat was born from Divodas. Chaivana. Chaivana. Tatsuta. The son of Matrayu. Nirpa. O king. Sudasa. Sudasa. Sahadeva. Sahadeva. Atta. Thereafter. Somaka. Somaka. Jantu Janmakrit, the father of Jantu. Shukadev Goswami said, O king, the son of Divodasa was Mitrayu, and from Mitrayu came four sons named Chyavana, Sudasa, Sahadev, and Somaka. Somaka was the father of Jantu. Somaka had 100 sons, of whom the youngest was Prashata. From Prashata was born King Drupada, who was opulent in all supremacy. From Maharaj Drupada, Draupadi was born. Maharaj Drupada also had many sons, headed by Dhrishtadyumna. From Dhrishtadyumna came a son named Dhrishtaketu. All these personalities are known as descendants of Bharmyasva, or the dynasty of Panchala. Another son of Ajamita was known as Riksha. From Riksha came a son named Samvarana. And from Samvarana, through the womb of his wife Tapati, the daughter of the sun god named Kuru, the king of Kurukshetra. Kuru had four sons, Parikshi, Sudhanu, Janhu, and Nishada. From Sudhanu, Suhotra was born. And from Suhotra, Chaivan. From Chaivan, Kriti was born. The son of Kriti was Uparicharavasu, and among his sons, headed by Bhadrata, Brihadrata, were Kushamba, Matsya, Pratyagra, Chedipa. All the sons of Uparicharavasu became rulers of the Chedi state. From Brihadrata, Kushagra was born. From Kushagra, Rishab. And from Rishab, Satyahit. The son of Satyahit was Pushpavan. And the son of Pushpavan was Jahu. Through the womb of another wife, Brihadrata begot two halves of a son. When the mother saw those two halves, she rejected them. But later, a she-demon named Jara playfully joined them and said, "Come to life, come to life." Thus the son named Jarasandha was born. From Jarasandha came a son named Sahadev, from Sahadev Somapi, from Somapi Shutashrava. The son of Kuru called Parikshi had no sons, but the son of Kuru called Janu had a son named Surata. From Surata came a son named Vidurata, from whom Sarvabhoma was born. From Sarvabhoma came Jayasen, from Jayasen Radhika, and from Radhika Ayutthayu. From Ayutthayu came a son named Akrodhana, and his son was Devatiti. The son of Devatiti was Riksha. The son of Riksha was Dilip, and the son of Dilip was Pradeep. The sons of Pradeep were Devapi, Shantanu, and Balika. Devapi left the kingdom of his father and went to the forest, and therefore Shantanu became the king. Shantanu, who in his previous birth was known as Mahabhisha, had the ability to transform anyone from old age to youth simply by touching that person with his hands. Because the king was able to make everyone happy for sense gratification, primarily by the touch of his hand, his name was Shantanu. Once, when there was no rainfall in the kingdom for 12 years, and the king consulted his learned Brahminical advisors, they said, "You are faulty for enjoying the property of your elder brother. For the elevation of your kingdom and home, you should return the kingdom to him." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was keeping us in separation for a long time this morning. One cannot enjoy sovereignty or perform an Agnihotra Yajna in the presence of one's elder brother, or else one becomes a usurper known as Pariveta. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Lilidam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tatakni Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutha Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahakana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brinda Vaneshwari Brishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Vasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9. Chapter 22, entitled The Descendants of Ajamita. text 1 through 15. This utterly fascinating list of names that has totally thrilled our hearts reciting. Are very important because they are the names of the forefathers of Lord Krishna and Balaram. Every single word, Rajivamji Hare Krishna, every single word of Srimad Bhagavatam is sacred and can give us the ultimate perfection of life if we truly absorb it with the receptivity of pure of devotion. Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Puranam, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Spotless Purana. It is the Paramhamsa Samhita. It is the scripture that is especially relished by the most liberated prema bhaktis, who are paramhamsas of the highest state of renunciation and devotion. It is the commentary of Vedanta Sutra by the author himself, Srila Veda Vyas. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would be sitting in Puri for generally 3 hours every day, he would discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with Gadadhar Pandit, going through every word, and they would weep ecstatically in love for Krishna as they would hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this very long list of difficult to pronounce names that we are giving class on today were spoken by Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit during the last 7 days of his life. Now, for those who have a little bit of mundane vision, you know, may have thought Parikshit every second is very critical. I only have 7 days. Every moment is so special. Speed up on these names. Let us get to the nectar. Shukadev Goswami, he was speaking the names like nectar, and Parikshit Maharaj was hearing every name like nectar. Now, many of these people we've never really heard of. All we know is they had a son. And all we know about the son is he had a son. And all we know about that son is that he had a son. And all we know about that son is he didn't have a son, but his brother had a son. It's fascinating. Parikshit Maharaj is on the edge of his seat, as all of you are, I'm sure. And Shukadev Goswami is speaking with such relish because it's related to Krishna. For as we make spiritual progress, anything related to Krishna, we taste Krishna in that. That's why, you know, Srila Prabhupada and our great acharyas, they were telling how, you know, some people just want to go right to the Ras Lila, that this is the nectar. But for those who are really tasting Krishna, even this list of names is the nectar. What to speak of every other part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because they're seeing Krishna in it. They're seeing how this is all part of Krishna's Lila. Therefore, it's enthralling, it's exciting, it's ecstatic. We are reading how The world is unfolding through these different personalities in such a way that Krishna is going to manifest himself on this earth planet to perform all his most incredible divine leelas. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoviti tatva tatyaktva deham punara janma naiti mameti sorjuna. One who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities never takes birth in this material world again, but comes to my abode. The transcendental nature of his appearance, and Shukadeva Goswami considers it important enough to tell all this name of personalities. Some were liberated souls, some we don't know what they did, and others we know they made some serious mistakes. But somehow or other, Shukadeva Goswami is considering this so relevant and so important to put in this Purana for Parikshit and for all world to come, because he's experienced and he's giving us the experience of the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance. Setting the stage for Krishna to appear within this world. And all these personalities, whoever they were, whether they knew it or not, they were instruments of Krishna, being orchestrated by Krishna to ultimately give rise to the environment where he would appear in this world, in his original transcendental form. Krishna in his original form, as Shyam Sundar, only appears within this material universe once in a day of Brahma. That's about 4,320,000,000 years. He comes as a yuga avatar in every yuga. He comes as many lila avatars, manva avatars, guna avatars. Those are coming regularly. But the Swayam Bhagavan, the original, full, supreme personality of Godhead, who is full of all opulences, who descends directly from Goloka Vrindavan to reveal his leelas of the most intimate, confidential love with Sri Radha and the gopas and the gopis, once in a day of Brahma. So rare, so special. And in the next Kali Yuga, after the Dwarpa Yuga of Krishna's appearance, once in a day of Brahma, Krishna comes to taste the sweetness of Radha's love with her complexion as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you consider how rare these two divine original forms of the personality of Godhead are in this world, we understand why Prabhupada would sometimes say, just recently Lord Chaitanya has come. Just recently Krishna has come. If we understand how rare, how special, what an incredible, unbelievable good fortune we have, that we are in this world so close to the actual descent of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radharani and all their associates and the whole of Vrindavan, then when we read what leads up to it, it's very exciting. It's very relishable. Krishna's coming, Krishna's coming. As we're hearing each name, Krishna's coming closer. It's not just a complicated Sanskrit name like Sutashrava or Somapi or Parikshi or Ayutayu. It's Krishna coming closer and closer, closer to his descent into this world to show the highest mercy and love to all of us. So in this way, we understand Srimad Bhagavatam, every word of it, every syllable is glorifying Krishna in such a special, intimate way. And Shukadeva Goswami, who knew everything about everything, direct disciple of Vyasadeva, who had transcendental vision. Shukadev Goswami, by his memory, he knew so many thousands of Puranas and histories, but he very specifically, deliberately spoke the essence, the most important of everything in Srimad Bhagavatam. That is what we are reading today and every day. Nasta prayesha badreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttamo sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Just by regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, one is cleansed of the modes of passion and ignorance, and irrevocable devotional service, love of God, awakens within our hearts. When Krishna left this world, the darkness of Kali Yuga took over everything. But then Krishna descended in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of Krishna, to give light in this age of darkness. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his whole philosophy and those created by Rupa Goswami or elaborated by Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, was simply based on the profound, deep wisdom of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything's there. The essence, the cream. And Srila Prabhupada, when he prepared to come to the West, could have brought the Gita, could have brought the Upanishads. He came with three wooden boxes of Srimad Bhagavatam. He spent about 5-6 years in that little room of Radha Damodar Temple, day and night, translating, digesting the purports of all the previous acharyas, illuminating it with his own divine realizations. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. He considered it the most important scripture. If he's going to establish Lord Chaitanya's teachings in the Western world in the English language according to his guru's instruction, I must give the world the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he told us everything that we need to know to become perfect in Krishna conscious is within the three volumes that he wrote of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. When he boarded the Jaladuta, I spoke to his son, Vrindavan Chandra Day, who was there at the docks, the King George Dockyards in Calcutta. He saw his father climbing the ramp to this old cargo ship. Just recently I was in the Bahamas, and they have all these really incredible ships. In fact, I'm a little humble to tell you this, but I saw the largest ship on planet Earth. It was gigantic. It was like a city. It's like swimming pools and shopping malls inside of it. Restaurants. I was outside, of course. You need a lot of money to get in. But I was seeing from the outside. But somebody was telling me, this is the largest ship, the most spacious ship ever built by man for passengers. Just see it and what's inside. And it was really high with all these windows. And I said, it looks like a tenement slum in the Bronx. Which kind of did. It was just huge.
And people, you know, they have a room, they're packed in like a crowded city, but because it's not spacious. Usually people go on vacation to go to a spacious, nice countryside, but they're packed in with like 10,000 people in this. But it's a vacation because they're packed in this overcrowded boat in the middle of the ocean. This is what people do to have fun these days. Anyways, there's some also really, really opulent ships. That was opulent, but sannyasis just see things their own way. And then there was a cargo ship that just kind of went by all the other ships. And it really, really looked shabby. Just had a bunch of stuff stacked up on it, these big boxes. And it was tiny compared to all the others. And I was in the ocean watching it, and I was thinking, Prabhupada came on one of those, not on one of these. He came on one of those. Prabhupada just had a little bag of some cereal, change of clothes, his japa mala. He had a Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he had an umbrella. He really had not, he just had a little bag in his hand. But in the cargo of the ship, he had these boxes of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Srila Prabhupada got off the Jaladuta and started walking down the ramp, he didn't see anybody there initially waiting for him. And His Grace Brahmananda Prabhu tells us that Prabhupada told him that when he got off the ship, he was in a completely strange country, in the dockyards of New York City. They're not famous for being sadhus around there. Can you imagine? From the Seva Kunja of Vrindavan to the dockyards of New York City. And he's all alone. He doesn't have a single penny of American currency. And he looks right, and he looks left, and he doesn't see anyone. And he walks forward. And Prabhupada said, but I was completely confident because I knew I had the Srimad Bhagavatam with me and the order of my spiritual master. This is the faith that the great souls have in Srimad Bhagavatam. And this was a rule that Prabhupada established at the beginning forever. And in all of his temples, every single morning, there is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam. Going through each verse, even the verses today, just a list of names. But when we think that Krishna is going to manifest through these names, then these names become very holy. We can become purified just saying Kushamba or Pratyagra, if we understand that this is going to bring Krishna into my life, into the world. So remember Krishna. This is Shukadev Goswami. And today's particular verse, we read about the birth of Maharaj Shantanu, who was a very important personality in the Mahabharata. He was this father of Bhishma, and he got himself into all kinds of different situations. And we're reading about one such situation where he had a power where just by touching someone with his hands he could make them healthy and well and remove their problems. He said he had the ability to transform anyone from old age to youth simply by touching that person with his hands. Could you imagine if he was around today? He would definitely have his own television show. He would have hundreds of millions of patients. Yes? Because nobody likes to get old. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosanu darshanam. The miseries of this world are birth, old age, disease, and death. And some of us, it's very theoretical, old age, when we're teenagers or children, or even in our 20s or 30s. We know it'll happen, but so what? Live for the moment. Yes? But the problem is it does happen. And when it does happen, you understand that it's happened. And it's, you're only getting older. Yes? When you're young, you look forward to the idea, so, you know, whatever happens, it's going to get better. But in old age, you understand you're only going to get older. And you're getting closer to death. The signs are there. And there is no escape. So for a materialistic person, they either get depressed about this whole thing, or they really try to forget the reality by intoxication or by just distracting attention away from the inevitable. I'm going to get older and die, but I want to be happy. And how could I be happy knowing that? So society... The society of Srimad Bhagavatam is, this is it. You should be aware of this when you're a little boy. Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavatam iha durlabam manasan janma tat apyatruvamartadam. Prahlad Maharaj didn't say, well, now we're young, don't worry about all this old age stuff. Live for the moment. Be here now. Be in the present. Let's play. Let's study. Let's exploit each other. Prahlad said, old age means close to death, and you could die any moment. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. So now you are already old. You're 5-year-old old man. So get serious about this Bhagavad Dharma. Now, this is the time. Now is the time. Otherwise, you waste your life. You think you're young. But for a materialistic person, practically half of the life is sleeping. Yes? We really like to sleep. Sleeping is considered a tremendous opulence in Kali Yuga. And sometimes it's very rare because people are so much in anxiety and distressed and everything else, they can't even sleep. If you really love somebody in the worldly sense, you ask them, did you sleep well last night? Have you ever been asked that before? This is an important thing. Did you sleep well last night? Oh, yes, I slept so well. Oh, thank you, thank you. In my house, you slept so well. I'm so grateful. Or if you say, no, I didn't sleep well. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. So many people have different techniques to sleep. You know, in my travels, I know people, the only way they could sleep is if they turn their television on, the news, really loud, and just let it play all night long. It's like the background. And they sleep. And if they don't have the news of the television on, they can't sleep.
And I even, one godbrother who lives in a city, he came to a country area and he said he couldn't sleep because it was too quiet. There's no horns and there's no sirens to soothe one's mind. So Prahlad Maharaj said, for an ordinary materialist, almost half of one's life is sleeping. So that means if you have 100 years, that means you only have 50 years, really, where you're actually living awake. And of that, when you're a little child, you don't know what's going on. You're trying to figure out what this world is and what all these gigantic, crazy people are doing. It's very bewildering. And you're just basically bewildered. And that's how you spend your next 10 years. And then you go to school and you're just trying to figure out what's going on in this world and you're learning all these subjects about science and mathematics and some, you know, history about different people killing each other. What else? Whatever. Spelling. That was my favorite subject, spelling. Science, I have to admit. I'm making a true confession. When I would bring my report card for my parents to sign, on the way home, between the teacher and my parents, I would put two little loops on an E to make it look like a B. And my mother would be so happy as she'd be signing the report card. She'd say, oh, you did so well in science. And I didn't say anything. I just smiled. And then as soon as I left the house, I erased those loops and gave it back to the teacher. But anyways, whatever, studies are important, no doubt. If in Krishna consciousness, we learn how to use these studies for Krishna. But Prahlad is saying for the next 20 years, practically, your mind is engrossed in studies, and then you get married. And you know better than me what happens then. Then you have to make a living, and you have to deal with these little children, and you have to deal with husbands. And men are pretty crazy. And men have to deal with wives who are, you know, goddesses of fortune. Honor them and make sure you don't make any aparads to them. Destroy your spiritual life. And you have to work to maintain the whole thing. And by the time you're old, you're so burned out, it's too late to really come to the stage of Bhagavad Dharma. You have to get rid of all the other anxieties and ignorances that you've accumulated. So Prahlad is saying, now is the time for Krishna consciousness, when you're 5 years old. Because time is moving. So Srila Prabhupada, when he came to America, he was 70 years old. And he had the Srimad Bhagavatam with him. The Paramhamsa Samhita. And every day he wanted us to discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam. All important. Who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the personified embodiment of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which culminates in the supreme glory of Srimati Radharani, more than any other scripture of the Vedic literatures. The Srimad Bhagavatam comes to this climax, this ultimate conclusion of the love of Krishna in Vrindavan and the love of Radha and Krishna. How Krishna is conquered by the love of Sri Radha.
And all the Srimad Bhagavatam, every word, every name is ultimately meant to bring us to this revelation. So, King Shantanu, he had the power to make old people young just by touching them. Can you imagine that? You know, you don't have to go on any diets. You don't have to drink any juice from the swamps injected with different kinds of miserable minerals. You know, like drink the urine of a crocodile. There's so many ways to stay young in this world. Everyone has their ways. You don't have to do all kinds of exercises and asanas and pranayams and buy machines that make you vibrate. You just get touched 1 second and you're young. That was his power. And he was a king. But still, it describes, it wasn't happy. There's no material arrangement that can make you happy. Ultimately, you have to totally humble yourself and take shelter of the Lord if you want to be happy, because all this stuff becomes complicated by the nature of material energy. And we find here that even though he could do all this stuff and he was a very pious person, there was a 12-year drought in his kingdom. Now, what's the use of making somebody young if there's no water to drink and there's no food to eat? Yes? You would rather be an old man and get a glass of water and a good meal, yes, than to be starving as a youth. So here his great opulences, his great mystic power, is not solving the problem of making people happy. Because he did something wrong. No matter what arrangements you make to try to be happy and others happy, if you create bad karma by exploiting, it's all going to come back. And this is the situation we're learning here in this beautiful purport of Srila Prabhupada. One cannot enjoy sovereignty or perform an Agnihotra Yajna in the presence of one's elder brother, or else one becomes a usurper known as Paribheta. And I'm going to conclude the class, because my time is up, with one verse from Bhagavad Gita which tells everything. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantimichchati. If you want to be happy, if you want to be peaceful, it's not going to happen by having hands that make everyone young. It's not going to happen by being such a great scholar that you could quote tens and millions of slokas. It's not going to happen by being the best manager in all of New Ramanreti. It's not going to happen by being the most elaborate pujari who makes everyone stunned when they see the way you dress the deities. It's not going to happen if you're the most exotic mridanga player and singer and dancer. It's not going to happen if you are a swami giving class. It's only going to happen when we accept these three principles and live by them. That Krishna is the proprietor of everything that exists. Sarvalokamaheshwaram. And not to usurp or exploit Krishna's property, or try to usurp or exploit what Krishna has given to anybody else. Prabhupada quotes Chanakya Pandit, see another's property as garbage on the street. Now, we have to have a mature understanding of that. We shouldn't be fanatical. And somebody, you know, says, come drive in my car. Say, I'm not going to touch that filthy garbage. I'd like I'd like to introduce you to my beloved wife. I'm not going to look at that filthy sewage. Yeah, we have to be respectful. But in our heart, what this means is we don't want to possess it. We don't want to exploit it. We don't want to enjoy it. But we want to honor it and respect. If we understand that everything is the property of Krishna, that means we honor and respect everything. What's the garbage is the mentality that I want to possess, I want to exploit, I want to enjoy. That's the garbage within our own heart. The thing is not garbage. The thing is a sacred property of Krishna, which is meant to be utilized in Krishna's service to honor and worship everything and anyone by recognizing their relationship with Krishna. Everything is beautiful and sacred if we see it. How can I best serve Krishna? Krishna is the proprietor of everything, and he's the supreme enjoyer of all yajna. That means everything is meant for Krishna's service. Everything was meant for Krishna's satisfaction. Ravana stole Sita. We were discussing this last night. He stole Ram's property to exploit for his own sense gratification. But Lakshman, for the 14 years they were in the forest, some acharyas explain, Lakshman generally just looked at the feet of Sita, because Sita was the sacred property of Ram. Ravana kidnapped Sita and took her across the ocean to try to exploit for his own envious purposes. And Hanuman jumped across that same ocean just to help bring Sita back to Ram. In very simple and clear terms, this is the difference between material and spiritual consciousness. Ravana wants to take Sita for himself and say she is mine. Janasya mahoya mahamameti. And Hanuman wants to see Sita and Ram enjoy together. The only thing that is mine is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Yukta Vairagya. So because of this one little anarta of Santanu, although he was such a great king, so powerful, so mystically endowed, he was trying to enjoy somebody else's property for himself. And therefore, everything was going wrong. He had so much power and control, but he couldn't make it rain. If you do something wrong, if you do something against Dharma, if you try to exploit Krishna's property, whoever you are, Krishna knows how to get you. Material nature knows how to humble you. Whether you become humble or not, that's your choice, our choice. And the third part of this beautiful verse in Gita, Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. We are meant to be enjoyed by him. Everything in creation is meant to be enjoyed by him, not used for me. We must use things for me, but for the purpose of empowering us to use things for Krishna. Prabhupada would say you should get enough sleep. You should eat nice prasad so that your body is equipped to serve Krishna. You should get enough exercise so that you could use your intelligence, your body, your mind, your everything optimally for Krishna's service. In these yoga studios today, some are doing yoga because they're trying to look real good to get some woman or some man. Some because they just want to be beautiful and they want good health so they could eat more meat and they can go to more dances. And other people are doing the same exact asanas because they want health
to serve their guru and the Vaishnavas and Krishna. They're doing the same thing, but with completely different motivations. Hanuman jumped over the same ocean as Ravana, but for a totally different purpose, to serve. And whoever we are, we should have faith, Suhrada Sarva Bhutanam, that Krishna is the most intimate, loving friend to you and to me and to everyone forever. It will never do anything or allow anything to happen to anyone in creation that is not ultimately for our well-being. And if we have that faith, instead of complaining and criticizing and becoming depressed or becoming arrogant, we take shelter and chant with a grateful heart his holy names. This is the lesson of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that note that used to be here about the time to end, it is not here today. So I am not karmically responsible. At least it's reduced. Is there any questions? Yes, Ganga Narayan Prabhu.
So many names have been mentioned in this kind of canto. Why is it that Sukadeva Goswami did not directly mention the name of Radhika in Srimad Bhagavatam? He referred to that gopi of Prabhupada, they translated as Radhika. The name was not directly spoken.
You already know. He's asking if he's, he is asking why Srimati Radharani's name is not directly spoken in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto when he mentions so many names in the 9th canto. Because none of these names have the same potency as Radharani's name. Acharyas give different explanations. One perspective is the name of Radha is the highest, most intimate name, because Sri Radha conquers Krishna. Krishna is Madan Mohan. He can even conquer Cupid by his all-attractive qualities, but Sri Radha Rani is Madan Mohan Mohini. She conquers Krishna, and she's not different than her name. The power of that name, supreme power of that name. Krishna chants japa of Srimati Radharani's name, and Radharani chants japa of Krishna's name. It's very intimate. And in that assembly where there were very different kinds of sages, and he did not want to reveal these most intimate, highest truths to a crowd of people who had different realizations. And also, Shukadeva Goswami, according to our acharyas, he's a personal, loving associate of Radharani in the spiritual world of Goloka. He's one of her intimate, loving pet parrots. Radharani is his supreme, ultimate Ishtadev. And if he were to even mention his name, her name directly, the acharyas tell us he was thinking he may have gone into ecstasy and been unable to speak another word of the Bhagavatam. And he only had 7 days to go through all 12 cantos.
And he wasn't like the Bhagavatam reciters today that just kind of skip around. He was giving us the comprehensive view. So therefore he indirectly spoke Srimati Radharani's name. To avoid going into an ecstatic trance of samadhi that could have gone on for days. That is the power of the taste of Radha's name to one of her own personal associates. And also, by speaking her name indirectly, it's even a more intimate, sweet, and confidential way of approaching her, which he did. He spoke her name, Aradhana. But it was contained within another word, which means she who worshiped Krishna the best. Bhagavatam explains the nature of gopis. Krishna tells them that I cannot repay you for your love, your devotion, your sacrifice to me, even in an entire lifetime of Brahma. With all that I have, I cannot repay you. This is the power of the gopi's love and Krishna's reciprocal love. And then we read how Krishna abandoned all those gopis to be with one gopi. That was Srimati Radharani. And when Krishna left Radharani, she was crying. And there's a place just across the Yamuna called Mansarovar, which was filled with the tears of Srimati Radharani's love in separation from Krishna. It's considered one of the holiest of all holy places for the Brijvasis. And when Lord Shiva wanted to enter into the Rasa Lila, he did tapasya. And he was told, you can't do it in a male body. You have to become a gopi. Bathe in Mansarovar. So Mahadev, the greatest of the demigods, Nataraj, who dances to destroy the universe, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, the greatest of all Vaishnavas, who drank an ocean of poison to show compassion to all beings. The great Shiva, who has some of the most magnificent temples in the world in his honor. Lord Shiva humbly bathed in the tears of Srimati Radharani and prayed to her. And by the power of Radharani's love, Lord Shiva became Gopeshwar Mahadev, became Gopi. So Shukadev Goswami, in a very intimate way, glorified her like nobody else has ever glorified her, telling about her, but very carefully mentioning her name indirectly, so that he can continue, and so that people would appreciate the glories of Sri Radharani and her name, and not take it as something very cheaply. Yes, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Brijabhasis could do that. But we should not do that. With great reverence and honor, we should understand the sanctity of Sri Radha's name. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Hare is Radha's name. Hare means the one who steals the heart and the mind of Krishna. How sacred. How rare is the name of Radha and Krishna, and how infinitely fortunate we are that we have been freely given this Maha Mantra, the most intimate mantra to awaken love of Krishna by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
We should not chant whimsically. We should chant with such gratitude and humility and what I've been given.
Yayatamam prabhadyante, as we approach Krishna, Krishna reveals. Radharani is Hare. Krishna is Rama, Krishna. When we're chanting this Maha Mantra, if we bow our head to the good fortune and humble ourselves to the glory of these names, if we chant in that spirit, even if we chant the Maha Mantra one time deeply in that spirit, we will be liberated forever. Therefore, we must render service, devotional service, to imbibe that spirit in the association of devotees. And read the Srimad Bhagavatam to hear about how Prahlad and Dhruva and Ambarish and all of these great personalities, the gopis and the gopas, how they approached the Supreme Lord who has appeared full-fledged in the names of Radha and Krishna. So we can actually chant that one name. Srila Prabhupada said to one devotee who had fallen away from the regulative principles, he was having great spiritual difficulty. He said, because one time you chanted the names of Radha and Krishna sincerely in Vrindavan, Krishna will deliver you. Krishna did deliver. We saw with our own eyes how Krishna did deliver him. So chant and be happy. But most of all, chant and make Krishna happy. Chant and make the Vaishnavas happy. Chant and make all living beings happy. And then you will be happy. Thank you very much.
Swami Maharaj ki jai. Jai. Jai.